Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Jason Powell here with a review of the WWE Raw show that aired on Labor Day, September 7, 2015. The show was live from Baltimore, Maryland at Royal Farms Arena. This was WWE's last chance to do something to get the potential Monday Night Football viewers hooked on the show enough to at least flip-flop, you know, flip back and forth between the channels, and or better yet, from WWE's perspective, just to stick with Raw and maybe flip over to Monday Night Football occasionally. And they didn't do anything. There was really nothing on this show that made me anxious to see next week's edition of Raw. They ended up announcing a couple of title matches for next week, one of them being the tag title match between New Day and the Primetime Players, which, you know, we don't see many title matches on WWE television these days, and I think that's something that they need to emphasize more of. I think they need to make it feel really special when there is a title match, and because they are becoming rare, and in a situation like this, just the rarity of a title match could help, but it just feels like something many of us have seen before, and so that one I don't think really is going to get people buzzing about having to see that match. The New Day Primetime Players, and then the winners will face the Dudleys at the Night of Champions event. The other match is one that I like, Nikki Bella defending the championship against Charlotte. The match was originally booked for the Night of Champions pay-per-view, the storyline being that Nikki, if she makes it through next week's Raw, will become the longest reigning Divas champion in company history. And it looked like they were just going to have that, you know, let that milestone occur without any title defenses on television. But the storyline became that Charlotte was petitioning the authority to give her the title match before Night of Champions. So Nikki has to have, you know, one last hurdle to reach this milestone. And I think it's smart to do, rather than just have her coast into it. I don't know how much interest that's going to garner, but I think it's certainly worth a shot, and it beats the alternative of just, oh, she's going to keep counting down and not have any title matches. The issue here is a storyline one, and from a consistency standpoint, Nikki Bella was like Stephanie McMahon's favorite at one time, yet now they're forcing her, they being the authority, are forcing her to defend the championship when instead of just letting her reach the milestone. So, I mean, I don't know what Triple H and Stephanie's characters are anymore. I mean, they seem like heels, but then they seem to be working against Seth Rollins at times. I don't know. That's a bit confusing, but I am happy they're going ahead with that match. But last night's Raw was just very slow. We got a Seth Rollins promo to open things up. I should point out Michael Cole, JBL, Byron Saxton were on commentary. And Rollins, I really enjoy his mic work. I do. But you feel, if you just turn on Raw, yeah, there definitely last night was the feeling of, I'm watching a rerun. I've seen this before. Rollins opening the show with the lengthy promo. And I had that feeling, and the crowd, live crowd, certainly did as well, because they started chanting boring during his promo. I'm not bored by Seth's promos. I think he's really one of the best talkers in the business right now, which is amazing considering where he was when he was a member of the Shield and when he first turned heel and joined the Authority. He's come so far, but when they just keep sticking him out there with really nothing new to say, this was bound to happen. He's overexposed right now, and some of that is due to the three-hour format of Raw, of course, but it's just opening segment. It feels like week after week, and I didn't go back to see how many times it actually occurs, but it just feels like it's, all right, Raw's opening. Here comes Seth Rollins and or the Authority. You know, and I didn't feel like he had enough new material there to really keep things interesting. It was just him bragging about being a dual champion, holding the World Heavyweight title and the U.S. title. And from this, we ended up getting Seth talking about how he will own his own legacy and get his statue back. And that's when Sting appeared on the big screen and showed that he had the Rollins statue next to him, and he told Rollins that he's the man without a statue, and he told him that the statue is here, I'm here, come and get it. And then he was like using a feather duster to dust off the statue, and this was cute Sting. And at one point, I don't remember if it was here, but I believe it was later in the show, he started doing kind of the Joker mannerisms that he had been doing in TNA at one time, and I was never a big fan of that version of Sting, especially when it was It just felt, I mean, obviously, the Sting that is people most identify with now is the Crow version of Sting, and that's taken from a movie, and I get it. But there was something about watching Sting go from being the Crow into mimicking Heath Ledger's Joker character that just didn't work for me, and I don't want to see that here. Happy, cheery Sting isn't a very good Sting. I like the dark, brooding Sting, the guy that doesn't say a whole lot. And even though he's come a long way on promos, I feel like every time he starts talking now on Raw, they're damaging Sting. I just don't think they're giving him good material to work with. And I went from being, you know, the original angle they did where Sting didn't have to talk. I was excited about Sting against Seth Rollins. And now as we move closer to it and we hear Sting, I become less excited about that match. I'm still very curious to see if Sting Rollins is the main event of that show, or if they have Rollins say that defending the world title is the highest priority, and therefore he's defending it against Sting earlier in the show, and then he faces John Cena in the main event. You'd get a better match in the main event, obviously, considering Sting at his age, not knocking the guy, but realistically, the idea of Rollins and Sting having a better match than Cena and Sting seems pretty slim. So, I mean, there's different ways they can go about this, but the build-up to it hasn't done much for me. So Sheamus ends up coming out, and they do a little back and forth about Rollins that tells him, "Do you realize how stupid you look?" And, of course, that leads to the obligatory chant. And Rollins told him he looks like Ronald McDonald with a bad haircut. And Sheamus' response? Pure comedy. It's bad. You know, you have Rollins, the heel, out there kind of telling babyface-like jokes about Sheamus, but it's like, okay, I can live with that. They're just, you know, they're two guys going at one another. Sheamus' comeback? Don't you dare bring my family into this. What? I mean, I get that it's a joke, but why is the heel out there? Why do you have two heels telling jokes and Sheamus kind of like playing into it and having fun with what the fans chant at him? That takes the fun out of it. But Sheamus, long story short, he made a threat that, you know, he has the Money in the Bank contract and he could cash it in on Raw, SmackDown, and then emphasized or at Night of Champions and told Seth that it's possible he could have a third Night of Champions match. I get the idea. I don't think anyone's excited about seeing Sheamus cash in Money in the Bank, you know, the contract. I think whenever it happens, the crowd is going to pop because there's the possibility of a title change, but I don't think anyone at home is sitting around going, wow, when is Sheamus going to cash in? I just don't feel like they made the right call here in going with him, and I would hope that when he cashes in, it's either a very short-term thing where if he cashes in successfully, or he's just that rare guy who doesn't. And I like Sheamus. I think the guy has a lot of ability. I like his look more than the fans do, but it's just, it's not clicking right now. And I don't think adding the title to him is suddenly going to make him feel worthy, you know, main event worthy. I just don't see it. The broadcast team spoke about well, a few things, and we got a shot of Paige and Charlotte and Becky Lynch walking backstage, and they hyped Paige and Sasha for later in the show. And then we had Rollins backstage. Oh, and I should back up. When the crowd was chanting boring at Rollins, his comeback was basically that, hey, I'm Seth Rollins, and I can go on all night. And it did get the crowd to quiet down a little bit, but it was loud. I guess the thing that jumped out at me about the boring chants, it was the adult males in the crowd, the same people who would normally cheer for a heel like Rollins, and even they're getting bored by the same old thing being said. They need to heat this up. I hope this isn't, oh, we need to get the title off of Seth now. My God. I don't think that's the issue here. I just think they need to do a better job of protecting him. But after we went backstage with Rollins talking with Stephanie and about how Sheamus wasn't going to get in his head and he wanted to talk to Hunter and if he was around this week, and then suddenly Hunter was standing behind Rollins, and he asked if, you don't think Stephanie can handle the situation, and Rollins was surprised to see him, and Hunter told him not to worry about any of this because he's the man, and then Hunter actually announced Randy Orton and Sheamus for Raw, saying Sheamus would have his hands tied. I'm like, again? Hunter said Sting is at Raw trying to get under Rollins' skin, but Rollins needs to focus on his two title matches, and announced that he would help him prepare for those matches by booking him in two matches on Raw. First against Ryback in a champion versus champion non-title match, of course, and then Rollins and New Day against the Primetime Players and John Cena, which turned out to be the main event of the show. The only thing, I mean, okay, I guess the idea is that Hunter's kind of working against him, against Rollins. I think that's what's going on. I think, and I mean, it's it's been a possibility now for a while, but he's never completely overt about it. Rollins is kind of showing signs like, God, why are you doing this to me? And then he'll get all fired up at the end. You know, he'll buy into the, you're the man. Yeah, I am. And he gets all fired up kind of thing. And Stephanie actually told him that Rollins, she was going to tell him to go after Sting, but Hunter's plan is much better. And so that's when he did the bit where he looked unhappy and then got all fired up. But, you know, back to that Rollins-Ryback thing for a second. Do they not want him to become a triple champion instead of just the double champion? I mean, they don't have to give Ryback a title match if they're the authority and they're even if they're still on Rollins' side at this point. Why not give Rollins a chance to win all three? First match of the night was Sasha Banks beating Paige in 9:55. They played this up. There's no time limits after last week, and like there's never time limits in WWE matches anymore, which is ridiculous. But there's not. But what they were trying to do is establish that, you know, last week's match was a beat-the-clock challenge, and they couldn't get the whole match in simply because of the fact that the time had expired from the time to beat was like 1:50, and so they really didn't even get a full match in. If you watch the match, it was like Paige dominating the thing, but she lost here, and the way they did it was the referee was distracted by, I think it was Naomi and Tamina, when Sasha pulled Paige's hair to get her into a pinning situation. And then the referee ended up counting the pin. So I'm wondering if they're starting to tell the story of Paige being frustrated and perhaps turning her. Just because she looked devastated last week when she didn't beat Sasha to, you know, win the Beat the Clock challenge. And she, you know, it wasn't like she was showing, like, great excitement for Charlotte. So I'm just kind of curious to see what's going on here. If there is something at work with Paige, or if they're just making it up as they go along. Then we ended up with a commercial break. When we came back, we had the Ascension introduced, and then we went to the second match of the night. It was Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose beating the Ascension in 2:50. Ambrose ended up hitting Dirty Deeds, and then the Wyatt family appeared on the big screen for a promo afterward, and they went to a commercial break. I like this just because I think with Reigns and Ambrose being just manhandled weekly now by Braun Strowman, I think it's important to kind of sneak in there and give their fans something to be excited about, even if it is just a lopsided win where you just kind of showcase, hey, these guys are still pretty damn good. So I thought it was fine. It served its purpose. Then we went to a commercial when we came back. We had Renee Young interviewing Ryback. This was not very good. He was just talking about how Rollins is a weasel, and the Intercontinental Championship has a rich history of fighting champions. But Kevin Owens then showed up, and he was eating an apple, and he said he wanted to wish Ryback luck, and Ryback said everyone knows that Owens is full of crap. And Owens said that Ryback looked hungry and should be careful not to bite off more than he could chew. So they're setting up something there, and I like it. I think that's a good spot for Kevin Owens, assuming he is going to win the IC Championship and isn't just going to be jobber fodder for Ryback. I mean, it doesn't mean they can't have a competitive feud that he loses, but I would still like to see Kevin Owens be given some sort of credibility after losing to John Cena a couple of times in a row, and then just kind of having this entertaining in-ring-wise, but otherwise just kind of throwaway feud with Cesaro. I think Ryback is doing okay as the IC champion, but I think Owens needs this boost. I think they really need to make Kevin Owens strong. They need to give him more promo time. And putting the IC title on him and then putting Ryback in chase mode is a way to accomplish that. The broadcast team set up a video package, and then they were so proud of the Rusev, Summer Rae, Dolph Ziggler, and Lana soap opera video package that they played it twice in the show. I'm like, oh God, you guys, they're way too into this. You can tell they think this is just phenomenal television. They went to a commercial, then when they came back, we got some hype for the Stone Cold podcast with Edge and Christian, which I won't get into detail here. You can check out my report on that. But after sitting through this episode of Raw, I can't say that I went into the Stone Cold podcast all fired up, but I came out of it feeling better than I did after watching Raw, because it was just kind of fun to relive some old Edge and Christian memories and hear their thoughts on different things, and so it actually was effective from that standpoint. Is it, real quick, is it something you must see? No. If you're an Edge and Christian fan, longtime fan, you followed their careers closely, I don't think you're going to get a lot of new information out of this, but it's a very entertaining hour. I mean, I'd recommend it. Again, I don't feel like it's must-see like some of Austin's bigger interviews that he's done on the network with Vince and Triple H, but At the same time, I think it's still an entertaining show, an entertaining podcast. And I enjoyed it more than the one he did with Paige, that's for sure. I thought that one was kind of all over the place. So just a good one-hour conversation with those guys and some, you know, some fun and some, a little bit of seriousness in there too. Well done. Third match of the night was Seth Rollins losing to Ryback in 17:45. Rollins was distracted by Sting on the big screen, telling him, "We're here and we're waiting," referring to Sting and his and the Rollins statue. And then Ryback, one thing they did, they had him give the when he came out, he handed the IC title to a young fan who was in the ringside area. And I don't know if it was a Make-A-Wish kid or just a young fan. I'm not quite sure. He let him hold the title belt while he worked this match. And it's a nice touch, you know, whether no matter who the kid was. I think that's a nice touch and something that you can have Ryback, you know, help Ryback get over with the younger kids who are going to beg their parents, "Can we please, you know, let's get ringside. I want to hold the title." And then after Ryback ended up leaving, Sting appeared on the big screen again, and he was like ducking up and down and trying to be way too cute, and the crowd wasn't getting into this. He'd stand in front of the statue, and then he'd duck out of the camera, and then he'd peek back up. It was Sting trying to be cute, and it just wasn't very good. He ended up taking one of his the Sting masks that they sell and putting it over the statue, and then they went to a commercial break. When they came back, we ended up with New Day approaching Seth Rollins about the title match they were going to have later, and they're super happy, and Xavier Woods has his trombone again, and Rollins was not happy. He just told me he had a lot on his plate tonight, and they pointed behind Rollins, and that's where Edge and Christian were standing. And Edge correctly pointed out that the last time he was on Raw, Rollins was standing on his neck and threatening to break his neck. And Rollins he ended up coughing accidentally, but he recovered from that very quickly. And he said he was doing what he had to do. And Edge told Rollins he didn't get the job done, and he told him he could try him now. And Rollins said he had a lot on his plate and stormed off. And then Woods started to play the trombone again, and Christian pulled out a kazoo and played it while Edge sang "New Day Sucks." Big E took the kazoo, and I don't know if he's chewing on it or just licking it, but then the Dudley showed up, and they announced here that they would face the winner of next week's New Day versus Primetime Players match. So they announced both a Raw match and their own match for Night of Champions. And I think it was, I'm almost positive they said, you know, they talked to the authority. It wasn't like the Dudleys were booking their own matches or anything like that. This isn't TNA. Summer Rae made her entrance as Michael Cole explained that she requested time to apologize to Rusev, and they went to a commercial break. And then we had Dolph and the Dolph and Summer video package that aired earlier air already again. And then she started her apology in the ring and talking about how Rusev is the true victim of the situation. She once again was gushing over Dolph's glistening body. And Rusev ended up coming out. And she was telling him about how she did everything she could to get her body in condition to his liking. And then this was a setup for, I think it's Iron Man magazine that she's in this month. They had that appear on the big screen so she could show off her body for Rusev. And then Rusev ended up touching her face and saying, "You betrayed me, but I accept your apology." And then he called her his sweet, submissive Summer. And he said that this is Dolph's fault, not hers. And he said that he is not the victim. Summer is the victim. And he said Lana isn't at Raw because she broke her wrist, as they claim. He yelled lies. And he said she's not there because Ziggler broke her heart. And he said he would never make Lana feel the way Ziggler has. Ziggler comes out, and he says Lana told him last night that Rusev didn't make her feel like he does. Ba-dum-bump. And then he checked on Lana a couple of times last night, he said, and she wanted to give Rusev a message. And then he super kicked Rusev, who left the ring, and that was the end of the segment. Wasn't as painful as I expected. It's still... This comedy stuff they're doing doesn't appeal to me. They did announce a rematch between those guys for Night of Champions. So we're going back to that again. I guess no surprise at all. I do wonder, would it have been the mixed tag? You know, Lana was training in the ring. And so you have to assume she's training for something. And now that she's out with a broken wrist, I don't think we're going to see that mixed tag match anytime soon. Then we went to, after a commercial break, the billionth trillionth, I don't even know anymore, match involving Randy Orton and Sheamus. This one saw Randy Orton beat Sheamus in 1550 with an RKO out of nowhere. I'd go through the match, but, I mean, these guys, they work hard. I mean, the match in St. Louis got over with the crowd in part because it's Orton's hometown. It's not their fault. They go out there and they give their all. It's the issue here is that we see this match just too frequently. The feud won't end. They're feuding over nothing, and yet the feud just won't end. I don't think Vince McMahon has any idea what to do with either guy right now. And I think he felt this way about these guys in the past, and that's why he just keeps sticking them together. After the match, Orton was leaving, and the Wyatt family video flashed, and then the Wyatt family had surrounded him, and they attacked him. I missed it. The idea was that the Ambrose and Reigns were seen talking with Orton. Must have been a backstage thing that I missed, some brief thing. So because they're still looking for a mystery partner, or a tag partner, not even a mystery partner, but they're looking for a partner of their choosing for the Unite of Champions match against the Wyatt family. So I'm guessing this means Orton will be that guy, unless they're going to have yet another Sheamus-Orton match at Unite of Champions. It's not the most exciting thing as far as Orton being the mystery guy, but please, please let it happen. I'll take that over Sheamus-Orton again. And then it was time for the fifth match of the night. It was the Dudleys beating Los Matadores, who had El Chirito with them, in 1:35. This match was all about El Chirito. Los Matadores are turning on this guy. He got barked at for standing on the ropes, I think it was, by one of them. And he was slapped and knocked down. And then the Dudleys ended up hitting 3D for the win. And then after the match, I believe it was the other member of Los Matadores. I don't even try to tell them apart because they don't matter. I like Primo and Epico. I don't like Los Matadores. But he was upset with Chirito and eventually kicked him. And then Devon told Bubba Ray that they needed to get back out and help. And as Chirito was being beaten up at ringside, Devon attacked him the other Los Matadores from behind and rolled him inside the ring. And then they put that Los Matadores member through the table with a Bubba Bomb from the second rope. So I guess this means El Chirito is going to end up with someone. Tell me he's not like a long-lost Dudley brother. They've never really played that in WWE. I guess Spike they did, when Spike Dudley came in. But beyond that, I mean, it's not like they had the whole, cast of crazy characters that are Dudley brothers like they did in ECW. Please don't tell us that El Chirito is actually a Dudley. I beg of you, WWE. They went to a commercial break. When they came back, Cole announced Ziggler versus Rusev for Night of Champions. We also got footage from the Raw pre-show angle that involved Miz and Cesaro. So nice to see. I like that they're trying to do a little bit more with the pre-show. I like the show. I've said that it just flies by. It's a quick half hour. It's the predictable debate style of you take this side of the argument, I'll take the others there. But the hosts just are laid back enough. They look like they're having fun. You get a couple of match announcements, sometimes several. And it's just, and once in a while, with David Otunga coming out of the Undertaker-Lesnar match, you'll get some really cool analysis style stuff that you wouldn't expect. Well, that you just don't get anywhere else in WWE. And so I dig the show. If you're not watching it, I say check it out. Granted, you're already getting 3+ hours of Raw. But if you're not just ready to throw your television out the window after Raw, if you could actually go for another half hour, you could certainly do worse than the Raw pre-show. But the match that was up next was Cesaro fighting The Miz to a double countout in 4:10. The angle that they did was Miz kind of, being a big shot, and Cesaro trying to, putting him in his place backstage. Miz was telling him he was going to, he could help him connect with somebody because he's not connecting with anybody right now. And Cesaro, you think you're such a big deal, try me on for size. I'm clearly paraphrasing, but it was something along those lines. And the match itself, Cesaro dominated most of it. He ended up suffering, I think the idea was some sort of a rib injury when he was run into the barricade and ringside, and so that was why he was counted out. And then but Big Show ended up coming out and chasing Miz around ringside until Miz was counted out simultaneously. And then so Miz gets away from Big Show. There's a fan that reaches out and touches Big Show's arm, and man, did Big Show give him the death stare. And this guy went from being having just a complete oh my god look on his face to then when Big Show turned around and left, then he was laughing with his buddies. But that man, I think May need to check his underpants after that one. That death stare from Big Show is not a good thing. But then he approaches Cesaro, who's still selling on the barricade, and just tags him with a knockout punch for no good reason. But maybe it will lead to something. I'm not too down on that one. I mean, Big Show's a heel, and Cesaro, I want them to do more of Cesaro, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it that would be nice. I don't think this match helped in any way. But maybe a win over Big Show could help. The question is, will they actually give him one? We actually did get an ad for NXT, hyping the Finn Balor and Samoa Joe against Lucha Dragons match for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Tournament Classic. I like this. I wonder how many fans that don't, just more casual viewers that watch WWE and maybe watch TNA and maybe still do watch TNA, didn't realize Samoa Joe was with NXT. Maybe they saw this for the first time. I don't remember if he's been advertised for other things on WWE television as far as NXT is concerned. Maybe he has, but you know, still, I bet this one, every real wrestling fan, I think, knows he's there. But I mean, just the more casual viewer, like, Samoa Joe's and this NXT thing? I wonder how many people will give that show a shot as a result of that. Then it was time for the Divas segment. Nikki was hyping her Bellabration for next week. She had Alicia Fox and Brie with her. And Nikki told Brie, get ready to be in Brie mode next week because bottles will be a-popping. And Charlotte's music interrupts them. PCB walks out together. Paige Charlotte, Becky Lynch. And Charlotte said, everyone knows she loves a party. Well, she does have that rep. She said that PCB loves a party, and yet Nikki didn't invite them. And she said her petition was granted by the authority, meaning she would be getting that title shot on Raw next week. And she said she will spoil the party and then let out another awkward woo. PCB ended up roughing up Team Bella, and Charlotte speared Nikki and put her in the figure eight, and Nikki was tapping out, and they went to a commercial break. So I wish they had a clear-cut direction for the Bella Twins, because it would have been something. This would mean so much more if they had been just positioned as strong heels this entire time, and Nikki was just gloating and laying it on thick. I don't think the fans really knew when she came out with Team Bella for this segment. Are we supposed to cheer her? Are we supposed to boo her? Because they flip-flop so much. And so when she starts bragging, you can kind of tell, like, there wasn't much in the way of heat. And so I don't know that the crowd really was certain how they were supposed to react. And that's a shame, because this, I like this angle a lot, just in theory that, okay, babyface Charlotte is, has a chance to ruin Nikki's chance to Nikki the heel, ideally, for her to become the longest reigning champion. That one writes itself. But when you flip flop the characters and no one really knows what to think of Nikki, it's not all that exciting. You know, it really loses something. It's too bad. The crowd did come to life to sing John Cena Sucks as he made his entrance, and he was encouraging them and saying he knows it's Labor Day, but they need to get louder. And then we get the rest of the ring entrances for the main event, which also included some guy wearing a hat and what I assume was like a braided wig, just hopping the rail and casually walking a little bit behind Rollins. Rollins spotted him right away. Security was very slow. The camera crew was kind of cutting away, but you could see him in a couple of shots. We saw that one. And then when the camera crew cut away for a little bit, or I don't remember if they cut away or if they closed down Rollins, but you couldn't see the fan. But then you could see him because the referee ended up grabbing that guy by the shirt and holding him with one hand and kind of barking orders with the other, I think was the idea. And then we could see a security member come running into the picture. I mean, I don't want to get overly preachy here. They really may want to reconsider the way they handled their ring entrances. I mean, there's just, in this case, maybe it was somebody made a mistake, but you'd think they'd have somebody, if you don't want to, obviously, I don't think they want to have guys be walked, escorted down there by security, unless it's a Goldberg-like situation, but you would think there would have been somebody right there on the aisle watching closely, so that if something like this happened, they're there and they're ready to attack. You know, not attack, but just defend, I guess, ready to pounce on the person, maybe one on each side of the rail. And again, maybe that is kind of protocol, and they blew it last night somehow, some way. But it's just something they should consider if it's not the standard procedure. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's something they've already talked about. The main event match, though, it was John Cena, Titus O'Neil, and Darren Young beating Seth Rollins, Big E, and Kofi Kingston in 13 minutes. And this was okay. I mean, it wasn't anything that really got me fired up. New Day continue to be a little too entertaining for my liking right now. Like, I mean, they're the baby faces against primetime players as far as I'm concerned, because there's primetime players just aren't that over, where New Day is always entertaining. And then and with the Dudleys, like, if the Dudleys hadn't returned, I'd be like, go ahead, you know, turn New Day babyface again. What the hell? You know, give in. The people like them. But they brought the Dudleys back, and they're over. To, you know, I think it varies from city to city, but I think the Dudleys can certainly be over as babyfaces. But when New Day aren't going for heat, they're kind of going for pest heat, but they're doing it in such an over-the-top and entertaining way that I think there's going to be some people who cheer them. And they even cut to fans. There's like a group of young, like 20-something males holding up the letters that spelled out New Day, and they're showing it on camera. Will they give us a double turn? I mean, the Dudleys can be great heels. We know that. Maybe, and if that's the idea, I doubt they're thinking that far ahead. Then I guess New Day is on the right path. But if not, as entertained as I am by New Day, I think they need to tone it down and go for real heat if they're not turning anytime soon. But the finish of this one, John Cena ended up, well, Kingston had hit a crossbody block off the top earlier in the match. He went for the move again on Cena, who this time rolled through and hit the AA for the win. So Cena gets the win, and then he does the millions of dollars dance with the players afterward. And then Rollins entered the ring after they all left, and Sting appeared on the big screen with the statue again. And Sting said it was a rough night for Seth, and said he never came to get the statue. And then the camera pulled back and showed that the statue was not the only thing behind Rollins. It was also a big garbage truck. And he ended up, Sting, this is where he went into kind of goofy Joker mode with his faces, you know, making funny faces and sounds. And then he pushed the, well, I labeled it the trophy, but it was actually a statue into the truck. And then it compacted. So Seth Rollins' big statue is now crushed and destroyed. Kind of like when my brother ended up getting the 4FL Fantasy Football Championship trophy. That's our main league. 20th year, baby. And he finally won it after 19 seasons for the first time. Didn't even get the thing home, and he already broke the arm off. My God. That's why I think I was thinking of trophy, was I was thinking of that moment. Nice thing is, ours can be easily replaced. Poor Seth, he may have to wait a long, long time for his new statue. You know, overall, just kind of a flat edition of Raw. I didn't think the live crowd was all that hot. I could tell they wanted to be. I didn't feel like they were given much to be excited about. They did get behind, you know, like as bored as I am by Orton and Sheamus, they still, you know, live crowd got behind Orton. They still like him. They were pretty quiet when Sheamus was on the offensive. I think it's just one of those things, like if you're there in person and people like Randy Orton are going to cheer, doesn't mean the fans at home are entertained by this anymore. It's just too much of the same thing. Then you have Rollins cutting the opening promo, which made it feel like a rerun. And so it was not a very exciting Raw. They felt like they phoned it in for Labor Day. Not completely. You know, I think they were trying. I don't think that was like, it's Labor Day. I think they were trying. It just felt like, all right, it's a holiday, and this isn't a very good show. So it felt like it was a phoned-in edition, but I don't think that's the sad thing. I don't think that's what they had in mind, nor should they. I mean, I wish they would give us some sort of a cliffhanger or a big match announcement, something. You know, just trying to do what they can to counter Monday Night Football, to keep, even if you're going to lose viewers to Monday Night Football, and you clearly are, you still want to give them some incentive to flip the channel. And for some, the two title matches they announced will do that. But I don't think it's either match is so hot that it was enough. I'd like to see a cliffhanger play out one year where the payoff is on, you know, the week that Monday Night Football debuts its doubleheader, something. You know, I'd really like to see WWE just swing for the fences and, you know, maybe not give away their hottest angle of the year or anything like that, when knowing that, yeah, viewership's probably going to be down, but do something. I mean, I people on Twitter last night just making it seem like, well, they're going to lose anyway. Why try? Well, tell that to the Miracle on Ice hockey team. I don't know. I mean, a bad sports analogy, but you have to at least make an effort. You don't just go, oh, football's back. Let's phone it in now until, you know, January. Granted, some years it feels like that's what they do. But again, I don't think it's by design. I just wish WWE would recognize the challenge and step up. Their way of recognizing it is two secondary title matches and claiming that next week is the Raw season premiere. That would make this show the season finale And that would be it's the worst season finale I've seen this year. And I watch a decent amount of television. I've seen several season finales. They were all better than this show. But I mean, to me, it's cornball marketing. It's the season premiere. I remember the first time they did it, it was like, well, I guess, you know, it's something they haven't done before, and maybe they'll get some people to watch because of it, I don't know. But when, I mean, it's just, I think anyone with a brain is going, you run every week. You didn't take a break. You didn't even have a finale. It's when you think about it, it's just, I think it's insulting to the fans going, that are supposed to go, my God, it's the season premiere of Raw. It's silly. But that said, I will be covering next week's show, of course, at ProWrestling.net as it airs, and then I will not be in email communication or on Twitter or anywhere else after the second hour of the show, because my beloved Minnesota Vikings play, and they play the late game of the doubleheader, so I'm going to DVR that, and then speed through that afterward, get caught up as quickly as I can, and you can get caught up pretty quick with an NFL game if you just speed through all the commercials and in between the plays and all that. So I'm looking forward to that. So you'll have Raw live coverage next week, of course, and then I will be back here with another All Access audio review of the show on Tuesday, just because of the Viking game will not be the regular thing. If you're a member, I'll get back to doing the audio reviews on Monday night, just kind of with Labor Day and the Austin interview last night, and then my Vikings playing next Monday, just kind of a rare deal, so we'll definitely get back to the Monday night audio reviews, as I know you guys appreciate having those ready for you on Tuesday morning, but I will be back on the All Access side next week for that. I launched the annual Pick'em Challenge that we do. It is free to play. It's the 8th annual. We're not going to charge you anything. You have a chance to win free .NET membership prizes, or if you're a current member, an extension for free. So it's free to play. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. Two different styles. You can sign up for both. All the details are right there. Just look for 8th Annual .NET NFL Pick'em Challenge in the headline, and you can sign right up. Thank you to Nathan Tim, who always helps out with that. Also want to point out that I will be on the PW Torch livecast this afternoon at 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern if you were listening on Tuesday. I will be joining Wade Keller, as I always do on Tuesdays, taking your phone calls. So if you enjoy the live format, you have something to say about the show, whatever the case may be, listen to us 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern over at pwtorchlivecast.com. And don't forget, if you are interested in ProWrestling.net membership, visit the main page, look for that sign-up area, and for as little as $5.50 a month, if you take our annual option, you can enjoy all the perks of membership, including, if you enjoy this audio review, know that the members hear it every single week after Raw, like I say, usually on Monday nights, and then all of our audio content, the .NET Weekly Audio Show, the Pretentious Pro Wrestling Podcast with Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt, Millennials with Attitude, when that show returns. A little bit tough right now with Zach Zimmerman just moving, but I'm sure the guys will get together again soon. So a ton of audio always available. It's an ad-free version of the site. If you just want to try us out for a month, very simple too. There's a one-month option. $7.50 is the price to test it out. See if we're for you. Hopefully you will enjoy what we do, and you will sign up for one of those annual deals that, again, works out to a price of just $5.50 a month. All the details available over at ProWrestling.net. Look for the sign-up area. You can't miss it. And if you have any questions on anything, or you just feel like following me, I'm on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet. Leave the dot out of that one, at ProWrestlingNet. That's going to do it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Take care.